Morning, church. Honored that you're here today, and we're going to begin with a prayer. But before we do that, just want to remind you that outline, if you have an outline right near you, make sure that you grab it and follow along with us. Whatever word is underlined in yellow, you want to make sure that you fill that in. I think what we're going to do in order to save money, I think we're going to be putting the outlines in the cubby holes here from now on. So when you come in here next week, make sure you grab one from over there. And either one of these, there'll be three of them here. I'm sorry, there's three of them. And just make sure you grab that there, okay? Because they won't be in the seats anymore. Okay? Let's have a prayer as we begin, and let's ask God to bless our time together today. Let's pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations in our hearts, Lord, be acceptable to you, because you are our rock and our redeemer. There is no God like you. We thank you for the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we submit to him today and honor you, Father, as our God, as our Lord. We thank you for saving us. We thank you for the precious cross of Jesus. We thank you for the indwelling of your precious Spirit. We ask, Father, today that as we talk about how you guide us, we ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us today. We invite the Spirit to teach us. We ask, Lord, that you will open our eyes to see how you're working all around us. And open the eyes of our hearts so that we may know your love better. We may know you, Father. And remind us, Lord, that it's not about methods. It's about being close to the shepherd that counts. So keep us close to you, Father, now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." Whenever we talk about guidance and how God works in our lives, it is so important that we... The key is it's not a method. It is about staying close to his heart that matters. It's about a relationship that counts. So how does God speak to us? We learned last week through the Holy Spirit, primarily through the Bible, through God's Word, through prayer. Now, are there other ways? Yes, there are lots of other ways that God speaks to us. We learn, obviously from His Word, through prayer, we know those things. What about hearing God through our circumstances? What about hearing Him through our circumstances? Circumstances are kind of a tricky thing. Because, for a lot of us, we say, well, if my circumstances are, pointing towards a certain way, then that must be God speaking to me. Let me give you an example. True story, actually. Married couple was having problems, and the couple decided that they would separate from each other for a weekend. And he went camping, and she went to the mountains in another state. She got on a plane and flew to another state. And while she was there camping, or there at the cabin, she met another man, and they had an affair. And by the end of the weekend, she had to get back on the plane back for her home, and she was really torn about, what should I do, and should I stay with my husband, or should I go with this new guy? And she prayed. She said, "God, give me a sign of what I should do." And immediately over the intercom, they hit some turbulence, and they said, "Please fasten your seatbelts. Please go back to the cabin." And she took that as a sign from God, went back to her home, divorced her husband, went back to the cabin. Folks, God doesn't work that way. We label that fate or luck. Or, that was God's will. I go back to Jennifer Kennedy Dean's statement because I think it's so powerful. You and I, his children, who are in covenant relationship with him, are never at the mercy of any person or any circumstance. God is never taken by surprise at any person's decisions or actions. He's already factored them into his purpose and plan for us. Rest in the fact that God is managing every detail in order to work out his purpose for you. Nothing is left to chance. There is no luck, okay? Don't say good luck. It is not Christian. It is not. It's about providence. God working in your life every single day. And to go back to the lady at the cabin, well, God will never guide us to do something contrary to his word. You know, people will say, God told me to divorce my wife. Malachi 2, God hates divorce. That's not his plan. So, a lot of us justify sin. You know, we say with our circumstances, and rather than trying to find out, you know, maybe what is God trying to tell me in this situation? Rather than looking for something in our lives to justify, oh yeah, yeah, see, that's a sign. God's working there. We have to be careful with circumstances. It's a really tricky thing. Here's an important principle. God will often use a combination of many things. And this is not just one thing, okay? And this is why you can't seek guidance alone by circumstances. What's going on in your life daily is what I'm talking about with circumstance. He uses many different ways to confirm his word, prayer, people, all those things working together. Whenever you're facing a decision, whatever it is, job or going to, you know, you have to go to his word. You have to pray about it. You have to give it time. You have to open your eyes to what's going on around you. You have to listen to what people are saying to you. We'll talk about that next week, how God uses people. But today I want to focus on circumstances. There are two types, bad and good. Neither should be taken as a sign that we are in or out of God's will. God uses both to guide us. Just because a bad situation is happening right now in your life does not mean that you're out of God's will or God's angry with you, and vice versa. Just because it's going great doesn't mean God's blessing you. So we need to open our eyes to what God is doing in our lives and look at our circumstances, both good and bad, to see what God is trying to teach us. Whenever I think of bad circumstances, I can't help but think of Joseph. Joseph's still one of my favorite stories of the Old Testament. And we know the story. Joseph had 11 other brothers. He was Jacob's favorite. He got the coat of many colors. We learned that as parents. You don't show favoritism to one child because this is what will happen. Jealousy drives his brothers when he's 17 years old to sell him into slavery. He's taken down into Egypt. He's sold to Potiphar. We look at his life and say, man, what a mess that is. You know, ain't nothing going to happen to that to Joseph. And because of Mrs. Potiphar doesn't get her way in what she wanted, and she wanted Joseph, and Joseph said, how can I do such a thing? I don't want you. I'm a righteous man. I'm following God in my life. I can't do that. And because he did the right thing, he was thrown into prison. Now look at Joseph's life. Sold by his brothers. Gets down to Egypt. Things start going good for him. Now he's thrown into prison. Any outsider would say, man, that guy has got something. God is punishing him. Man, he must have really screwed up. That's what we would say. If we look, we just as an outsider looking in, man, what did he do? And that's exactly what Job's friends do. You know the story of Job, right? He loses everything in one day, and yet he still trusts God. And then his friends come around. Bildad, Zophar, they come down and want to ask him, you know, hey, what's going on in your life, Job? They try to figure out why this happened to him. And their wrong thinking was this. If you have good happen to you in your life, then you're being a good person. If bad things happen, then you're a bad person. Therefore, for 34 chapters, we get, Job, you're a sinner. Look what the bad things have happened to you. Job's like, no, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. Yes, you are. You're a sinner. No, you're not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And it's like a playground between all these boys. And finally, Job says, God, come on down and tell us what's going on. And God never answers the question of why he was suffering. Sometimes when we obey God and do the right thing, bad things still happen. That's the lesson from Job. That is the lesson from Joseph. But it's an issue of integrity. Who are you going to please? Are you going to please God or are you going to please man? When you get a chance to get a job, but it's going to require you to be unethical, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to please God or are you going to please man? And we need to come to the point in our walk with God where the whole world can turn it back on us. But I am not going to deny my integrity. I am going to be faithful to the Lord. Even though I may not get the raise, even though I may not get the job, I may have to break up with the teenage girl that's wanting to do something I don't want to do. We have to think about the audience. We serve an audience of one. That's all you have to please. And he's already pleased with you because you're his child. Joseph teaches us that in good and bad circumstances, God is always with us. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success and everything, there's no Egyptian gods here. He's preaching with his life. The Lord gave him success and everything. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put it in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. The Lord was with Joseph. It's a bad situation. God's still with him. And just to prove it later on when he gets put in prison, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, who was with him? The Lord. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Man, you don't put that in somebody's hands unless you really trust them. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord. Joseph preached a powerful message to the people of Egypt. By the way he lived. He spends 13 years in prisons, and we would say, boy, that is just wasted time, man. Wasted. Look what he could have done. But to God, God's time schedule is not like our time schedule. He is shaping his character. He is developing his gift of interpreting dreams. Why? He is preparing him for the next assignment. And that is exactly what God is doing with us. What's he preparing you for? You know, that difficult job that you have right now? That annoying boss? Maybe that difficult family member or spouse or whatever. God is in the preparation business. And sometimes the only way that we are going to grow and change is through hardship and through suffering and through struggling and being around difficult people and difficult bosses. And God shapes us. If we will listen and stop complaining and listen to what he is trying to teach. You are where you are for a reason. You're God's representative. You ever thought about that? You're no different than Joseph. How are you making the Lord look where you work? Do people know that the Lord is with you? God is using them to prepare you. Because holiness is the issue with God. It's not about church attendance. It's about holiness, purity, getting sin out of our lives. And God will do whatever it takes to get it out of our lives. You realize that, don't you? Holiness. Your marriage is sacred because it's holy. And God is using your mate to form you into Christ-likeness. God is using that boss. He's using that difficult co-worker. Holiness. He uses good circumstances, bad circumstances to shape us. Because, man, we got a lot of rough edges.